Good evening and welcome to another exciting edition of the Extraordinarily Fresh League-Wide Podcast, Week 8. Wow, some amazing things going on. I am your host, Shane. I'm joined tonight by my co-hosts, Clint and Eric. We got some exciting stuff to talk about this evening. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in and get straight to it. Week 7. Wow. Let's talk about how it treated you. I'll start off and say how it treated me. Finally crawled my way out of the barrel of the dungeon. I still left 60 some odd points on the bench. However, it was enough to still get by House Money, who of course is trying to be the first person to ever be banned for life from the league. So that's great. This week I'm going up against Eric. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But for Clinton, Eric, what about you? How did week seven treat you?
For me, I mean, all in all, I had a pretty good week. You know, I put up 137 points, but it just wasn't enough to keep Jewel at bay. She put up 156, 157, something like that. She had a great week, and you know, I had a decent week. I was looking around some of the other scores that had happened, and you know, anytime you put up close to 140, you can't really complain too much. But they just, she just did better than me. So that was that. But no, I mean, my guys showed up and played. So I'm still positive, even though I'm down now to 3-4. But you know, anything can happen. So that's all I have for my week.
Oh, hi guys, Eric here. Hey. Well, I was just shocked I put up the week I did. I wasn't even paying attention. I was down in Disneyland in Anaheim, and I just looked at my phone for a minute. I saw I had like 100 points. I said, what is this about? So I had no idea what was going on at the games. You know, Skip's got a good team. I beat him. I was down 26 after Aaron Rodgers on that Thursday night game, which made me sick. I thought I was in trouble, and I beat a good team. I'm proud of my team. Jay Ajayi, who's been sitting on my bench for the past year and a half now. I didn't play him the week he ran off of 200. I got him in the lineup. I didn't even have Zeke. Zeke was off, and Hill finally went off. He's been basically terrible, and Jeremy Hill just went crazy, and Cousins delivered as my QB, and CJ, now we'll talk about that later. I lost CJ, but he had a decent game on Monday night. And I'm happy. I'll take the win. Got some challenges ahead of me, but like I said, it was a tough game and, you know, great comeback. So I'm happy.
That seems to be the theme this season, strange things and odd comebacks. Yeah, a lot of people were curious, Clint, in your matchup with Jewel, and want to take this time to say congratulations to Jewel, who got married over the weekend. Woo-hoo! Congratulations. Clint gave you the greatest victory that he could and letting you win in fantasy football. That way it could add to your weekend. Know that you should have lost, and that's 2 weeks in a row because I gave you a gimme as well. We're not going to go there. We're talking about the present, not the past. So, studs and duds for last week. Everyone was looking to see if Zeke would continue his streak, given that they were on a bye week. We knew that his numbers were going to be obsolete. However, who were some of the people that stood out to you in week 7 in the NFL?
I mean, as far as duds go, I had lost Ben Roethlisberger, you know, for a couple of weeks with that knee injury he's got going on and trying to come back from. And, you know, so I've been trying to choose between Tannehill and Sam Bradford on my bench. And I picked the wrong one. It wouldn't have mattered this week anyway, but you know, I picked the wrong one. And I mean, gosh, if you don't have a quarterback that can throw a couple touchdowns, it's just awful. I mean, that's the only thing that really came to mind from my end, because I was also on vacation with my wife. So I didn't watch a single football game on Sunday. So I didn't really get to catch any game action, but man, just awful performance. I think I started Bradford. I think I started Bradford is who I started in, and I don't even know if he threw a touchdown, but I don't know. He had like a 6 or 7 point score or something like that. It was brutal.
Yeah, it seems to be some very weird things taking place. Just to kind of put some things in perspective right now, these are your top three quarterbacks in the NFL through 7 weeks. Total passing yards. Coming in at number three is Andrew Luck, 2,074 yards. Drew Brees, 2,101, which is expected. I expect to see those two at the top. Number one, though, leading the league in passing yards, out of Atlanta is Matt Ryan. Now, a lot of people will think that that's odd, but he was projected to do a lot better, and he has done well. But, yeah, I agree. It's weird. Top three running backs. Number three, DeMarco Murray at 633. Mr. Johnson out of Arizona is 681. And at no surprise, Mr. Elliott is leading the way at 703. Last but not least, we're going to talk about the top three receivers. Now, this is rather interesting. So there's a tie for third place at, I'm sorry, that's receptions. Let me get my receiving yards here. My apologies. So you got T.Y. Hilton coming in at 689, A.J. Green coming in at 775. And of course, you can't have the number one quarterback with passing yards and not be the number one receiver in the league. And of course, Julio Jones coming in at 830. So with that being said,
you know, I didn't realize AJ T.Y. Hilton was number three. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 689 yards. And of course, after his monster game 2 weeks ago, Beckham Jr. is number four at 630. So it's interesting to see that you have a bevy of guys that you expect to be there, but not. Then again, you got the bottom of the barrel. So what for you, Eric, what was a surprise for you from last week in terms of NFL games? I know you were with the family, but anything that you heard or saw that kind of stood out to you from last week?
Well, if Eric's not going to say anything, I'll say one thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a mute. I apologize. I had a mute. I only game I really saw was the Sunday night game, but I was getting alerts. I had the Philly D. I didn't realize it. I had no idea what was going on in that Viking Eagle game. I just saw there was turnovers everywhere. It was like, so I guess the Philly D, if you're going to, I can't really comment on a lot because I didn't really see many of the games, but I have to say the Philly D putting up 25 points has to be a surprise. I don't know what happened to Minnesota. Like I heard Bradford didn't do well, but I have to say David Johnson so far, the guy just thought he was good. I didn't realize he's this dominant though. I have to give the man credit. It's just, he's like a machine. Pretty much, I didn't see any games, so I can't really give any honest feedback.
I know Blunt had a 100-yard game and two touchdowns when a lot of people were kind of ready to write him off their fantasy lineups, you know. And that was kind of surprising for me to see.
Yeah, I would have to agree. One thing that wasn't surprising for me last week is Julio Jones. Everyone expects him to go out and dominate every game that he's on the field. But one of my biggest surprises for me, I'm going to go with the guy that was sitting on my bench. And this guy hasn't done anything all year, wasn't even projected to really do anything. And for some reason, he comes out and has one of the better games, really his best game, and that would be the great Davante Adams out of Green Bay. I mean, where the hell did that come from? You're talking about 16 targets, 13 receptions, 132 yards, and two touchdowns. What the hell?
Well, I saw a stat that was saying, I think that was one of the first times, or maybe only the second. Oh, it was the second time in NFL history that a quarterback had thrown, you know, or three receivers on one team had caught at least 10 targets. Yeah, no, that was. I mean, that's pretty crazy, you know, to see. I mean, that's easily, you know, 15 to 20 points between, you know, three receivers on a team. And that's pretty wild.
You have to wonder, though, if this is going to work. They played Chicago, so stop playing some other teams. I don't think I'm going to play that type of game.
Yeah, true. And like I said, I'm in the same boat as you, Eric. I caught some stats and caught some news, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't able to watch much of the games because I was on vacation. So, yeah, I wasn't able to actually see any of that unfold or see how it went down.
So here's something to keep in mind. Green Bay plays Atlanta this Sunday. They have the 425 game. So it'll be interesting to see if it was a one-time deal, given we know how Atlanta's secondary is set up right now. Trufant's going to be, you know, isolated on one side of the field. That's fine. But his counterpart, Mr. Personal Foul himself, is probably going to draw slot receiver and or maybe even the second stringer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I myself am curious to see what that game is going to look like, simply because we have some very – the season itself, just like our league, the NFL has a parking lot of teams with similar records. So it'll be interesting to see who actually can separate themselves. Speaking of which, let's talk about this weekly wrap-up from week 7. Congratulations to Eric for being the high roller himself, receiving high points at 166.44. To recap some of the games that we had, Ross defeated Chad 131.58 to 109.54. Ross was projected to win. You got Nemesis, who defeated Henry P. McCoy, or as I like to say, the big hairy loser, 156.32 to 117.72. Nemesis was the projected winner. You have myself, the king of bench points, defeated House Money, BKA Roland, BKA he'll never play again in this league or in life, 129.94 to 84.80. He was the only team in the league last week that did not break 100 points. Hell, he didn't even break 85. Good job, Roland. You were the projected winner, but only in projections. Eric defeated Skip last week, of course, 166.44 to 123.04. Skip was actually the projected winner in that game. Ronnie, the great undefeated, which I'm still baffled at. We'll talk about that in a second. I swear it's a conundrum here. Defeated Brad, Smoke on the Water, 133.88 to 108.24. Brad was a projected winner. Simon defeated Ish in a battle of procrastinators, in my opinion, 148.40 to 103.18. Ish was the projected winner. And of course, Jewel defeated Clint last week, 155.62 to 137.56, and Jewel was the projected winner. So it looks like we had a handful of upsets based off of the projected winners, and that just comes from, you know, people overachieving. And then you have your stars, your main characters, as I like to call them, and they just didn't show up. So with that, how in the hell is Ronnie 7-0? I think the fantasy football gods are trying to give him a break because he hasn't had one any other time in life. Ronnie, sir, you are 7-0. I don't think we've had anyone that has ever gone through the first half of the year in extraordinarily fresh and has remained undefeated. Soak it up. I was undefeated a few years ago and had one of the greatest downfalls ever. Your time is coming, sir. You will do just like the Cowboys and their love for Tony Romo. What do you guys think?
If he had like a, you know, this totally dominating team that, you know, was scary, then yeah. And I haven't looked at the scores, but you know, I would love to look at those little Yahoo stats that they put together that, you know, show if, you know, if Ronnie played every team every week, he would be, you know, at such and such, you know, win percentage, or, you know, this is what his record would actually be. You know, I think it's one of those things that you can have a great season, and I can say this loudly as a Bengals fan, you know, maybe not so much this year, but, you know, in recent years, you can have great, incredible seasons, you know, going 12-4, I think is what we did last year. And, you know, you make a quick exit in the first round of the playoffs and it's all for naught. It doesn't mean anything. You know, are you going to be bragging next year if you went out in the first round of the playoffs, how you went, you know, you went 8-0 or 9-0 or whatever, you know, your team's not really truly dominating unless, you know, you can show for it. And the thing is, and I'm not trying to talk smack on Ronnie's team. I mean, there's nothing to, you know, nothing to balk at being 7-0, but, you know, his team doesn't scare me. You know what I mean? It's that he doesn't have a team that I can look at and say, I don't want to play him. I do not want to play him. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. That reminds me of Ross's team about 3 years ago when he had his back-to-back winning seasons. Every week it was like, oh, hell, I have to play this guy. You know, but I agree. I don't think that Ronnie has a dominating team, but hell, you can't deny the fact that he's undefeated right now. And I think that is exactly just speaking to what's going on in this league and the fact that he's 7-0. Speaking of something else that makes you scratch your head, what's going on with Brad's team? Brad, wow. Just coming in with such high hopes and really, you know, hoping for bigger and better things. And, he's really more like trash on the water. What's your take on that, Eric?
You got anything, Eric, or I can speak to something else again?
Well, I was saying, when you're 0-7, you know, the whole thing, we've been going back and forth about the points forward, points against. But if you're 0-7, you can't say every game is, you know, just going up against the best team. You know, he's got a good team. He's had some bad breaks, but 0-7 is 0-7. I don't think you can constantly say you went up against a better team because, you know, you're not getting more points than them. And looking at the points, you know, sometimes points forward is a little skewed because, you know, one team may have one bad week, put up under 100, but they may have, you know, pretty solid weeks the rest of the time. So you can't always look at that. But, you know, he's had some bad breaks, I admit, but 0-7 is 0-7.
Well, I know for a fact that if Brad was on this podcast, he would love to step in and defend himself right now. And Eric, I do agree to a certain extent that, you know, points four can be skewed, but at the same time, you know, you want to, you know, you're 7 games into the season and you say, okay, I'm better than, you know, four, you know, my points four are better than 4 or 5 teams out there. You know, I mean, there's literally no reason to be 0-7, you know, unless you just, you know, have the lowest, you know, points scored and, you know, just a whole bunch of factors. But I mean, I look at Brad's team and he's definitely not an 0-7 team. You know, I'm not saying that he needs to be, you know, top 8 or anything like that, or, you know, but it's that is probably some of the worst stroke of fantasy luck I've probably ever seen. I was just complaining to Skip just, it was yesterday, I think. You know, the past 2 weeks, I'm only in 3 leagues, but the past 2 weeks I have lost every single game in all 3 leagues. And it's just like, I mean, my football happiness is at an all time low right now, you know. But, you know, I just can't imagine how Brad feels in a $100 league and, you know, not even halfway through the season, and I mean, pretty much, you know, you don't have a shot of making the playoffs unless you have the greatest comeback ever and start putting up crazy points to win those, to win all the, you know, the tiebreakers and everything.
Oh yeah, I agree to a point. Well, I try to look at teams that have bad luck. If say you lost to a team, you know, top team, but there are seven other teams that can still score more points than you, I don't really contribute to bad luck. If you had the top score, the top four scores, yes, I think you're catching your bad luck. So I think he does have a decent team. Like I said, you're totally right. Some bad luck, but also I say he is probably could be in the middle of the pack. Now, but you know, I hope it can turn around. I don't like to see a team go 0-7. It's, you know, I like to see everyone do fairly well.
That's spoken like a true champ. However, this is fantasy football, and you're going to have your teams that are at the top, and you're going to have your teams at the bottom. Just as we've never had anyone go undefeated through the first half of the season, I don't think we've ever had a team that has gone completely winless the first half of the season. So we have all kinds of records and things being set up, not only for this year, but it makes for an interesting conversation, because this league wasn't this bad when we had 12 teams. You add those two extra teams and you see how even in the rankings right now, how many teams are stuck in the middle at 3-4. If you take out Ronnie's 7-0, and if you also take out Clint's, I'm sorry, if you take out Eric's 6-1, look at the rest of the league. That's something to think about. So with that being said, how are the contenders shaping up outside of Eric and, of course, Ronnie?
Shape up in what sense? I mean, do you mean just like looking at who do you think has a good shot at getting in the playoffs, or?
Yeah, let's take a look at it while we're doing that. So Ronnie's 7-0. Okay, we got High Rollers at 6-1, Nemesis at 5-2, the Fresh Crew at 5-2, House Money at 4-3. And then at that point, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams at 3-4. So I guess the better question is, outside of those people that are in the top five, out of these 3-4 teams, who do you think can be a real contender? And who's just giving money away? Because at this point, you have myself, Ish, Clint, AJ, and Jewel sitting in there, and Simon as well, all at 3-4. So it looks like there's going to be a fight for the last two spots. The question becomes, who's going to get them?
I mean, shoot, anything can happen. It's so tough to say. I mean, it really is. I think that, you know, I think that I've got a good shot at making the playoffs. You know, I think I played some of my harder matchups earlier in the season, and, you know, I just do. I think I'm at a good spot with points right now, and, you know, but shoot, man, it's, you know, any of those five teams are a possibility to get in there. It's all going to come down to, you know, I think we might see a situation where we've got, you know, four teams looking at a tiebreaker situation to see who's going to hit that last spot there to make it into the playoffs.
Man, that would be crazy, because again, you're talking about something that hasn't happened in league history. What scares me about this pool party of 3-4 teams is that if you look at teams 9, 10, and 11, which is myself, Ish, and Simon, you're talking about 862-38, 841-82, and 840-48 in total points four. So you got Skip, who's sitting at 2-5, and he has 909. So you're really looking at it coming down to what your team produces on the field point-wise. You got Roland sitting in a five spot. He's only put up 894.36. You don't have an extremely dominant team for points with the exception of Nemesis. And, you know, as much as I hate JR, I mean, he's put up 987.56, which is number one in the league right now. Jewel at 3-4 has put up 978.78. You have a bunch of teams that are putting up points, but the wins don't match. Scary.
Yeah. No, it is. It's scary and it's frustrating, you know, to some who are kind of on the short end of the stick. If you're looking at it right now, Shane, what's the what do the top three teams have as far as points for?
All right, so let's roll these off real quick. The top three teams for points for. Number one, Ronnie, 963.40. Okay, then we got the High Rollers at 941.20. And then JR, the nemesis of everyone, at 987.56. Those are your top three teams and the points for in those three teams. Now, Ross, being at number four, has done 910.56. So even the top teams in terms of point disparity, you're talking less than 55 points.
Yeah, and that's something, too. I, you know, looking at the total points I was earlier today, you know, both for and against, dude, honestly, like, and I know it looks crazy to look at a team, you know, who's 7-0 versus looking at a team who's 0-7. You know, you would think 7 games into the season, you're going to see 300, 350, maybe even 400 point difference in those teams. But is it less than 100 or is it right at 100? What does Brad have?
It's less than 100. So Ronnie has 963.40. And then Brad has 871.42. So you're talking less than 100 points.
Yeah. You're talking less than 100 points. I mean, to me, I don't know. It's just nuts to talk about a 7-0 team versus an 0-7 team, 7 games in, being less than 100 points. That's just nuts. That's just nuts.
This is what Extraordinarily Fresh is all about. We're all about being crazy, wacky.
I was pretty about to say we're all about nuts.
Making people wonder what's going on. That's what we do. Everyone is trying to figure out how they can be the top, be the best. Well, what team do you think has improved the most? We just went through some points for, and you know, points allowed is another area that's kind of creepy when you look at it, because Nemesis is one of the closest teams to being actually even in terms of points for and points allowed, yet he's holding in on that number four spot. So what team do you think, or teams, have improved? Trades have been very slim because everyone's been holding on simply because no one's stood out, and the teams that have made moves have just been minor ones. I think Chris has kind of given up on the year, and he's basically trading for next year as he picked up a couple guys that are currently on injured reserve. And then he took a bad break and had a couple more of his regulars hit injured reserve, hence the name change to We Are the IR, because clearly his team is just about all injured reserve. But that keeper value next year is going to be phenomenally low, which means he might even have a chance to repeat in terms of having the highest money going into the draft. But that being said, are there any teams that have kind of helped themselves get separated from everyone else, given we have so many teams with the same record or close to it?
I mean, one thing that sticks out to me is, you know, it's something that it's not an approach I would have had in a PPR league, but, you know, something that has surprised and impressed me a little bit is, you know, Eric doing his thing with, you know, his running backs. And it's like, you know, he's kind of onto something in the sense of it's almost better to put up, you know, maybe some guys that you know are going to get you, you know, close to 100 yards and a touchdown every game versus, you know, a receiver who might put up a dud. I mean, how many times are you going to have a starting running back that gets less than, you know, 30 or 40 yards? You know what I mean? And, you know, it just doesn't happen. So he's got the consistency. He's got the consistency, whereas some of us only have one starting running back, and then we've got a second string for our second running back. And, you know, like in my situation, I'm playing, maybe a tight end, another tight end for a flex position. You know what I mean? But he's got running backs that, you know, might give him 10 to 12, maybe even 15 points. And, you know, my tight end might only get me, you know, 5 or 6 if he's going to have a bad week. So I think Eric's team has honestly kind of impressed me in kind of a non-conventional way.
Yeah, surprisingly, I would agree with you on that. I had no idea that we would be sitting here talking and he would only have one loss. I felt like coming into the season that at this point, the top team would be 5-2 at the most. Given that he's at 6-1, is phenomenal. And, you know, like I said, with Ronnie's run of luck being undefeated right now, I mean, clearly these two are the teams to look after, simply because, I mean, we know Ronnie's pretty much in the playoffs unless he just has a colossal collapse of unheard proportions. Same thing with Eric's team. But, you know, Eric will be losing this week simply because he's going against me. And I feel like being on this podcast, unlike AJ, actually does something for me. So enjoy it while it lasts. The Warlock is in full effect. Come on. I mean, Halloween's the tomorrow, the day after we're going to air this. So understand that there's going to be a lot of mixing going on right now. So enjoy it while you can, because it's about to get turned upside down.
Well, thank you. Thanks, guys, for the nice comments. I know when you don't go this way with a team, but I the reason I went running backs was I saw last year the value of running backs trades seemed to be higher, and I figured with all the injuries, I lost CJ, so I have I never thought Ajayi would become the player he was after sitting on for a year and a half doing absolutely nothing. So, I lost with CJ, but I do have coverage. You know, hopefully Hill can keep it up. I'm not, no guarantee on that, of course. He's kind of night and day. But, you know, I just figured, when I drafted CJ during our draft, I figure, you know, try to take the top running back and make all the other teams scramble to get some running backs. So we'll see what happens. I'm down one running back now, so maybe Langford can come back too when he gets healthy and at least contribute a little, because who knows what's going to go happen with that Chicago backfield. They seem like they change running backs every game. So, you know, I'd beat some good teams too. I'm AJ, Ross and Skip are all good teams, so you all have good teams, so it's going to be a dogfight to the end.
I agree. So with that, is there anyone that's out there on the waiver right now that is of interest? I know myself, having Coleman for the Falcons, knowing that he's going to be out, although he did practice slightly on Wednesday, I expect him to be out a couple weeks, so I went out on the wire and picked up Ward only because I knew by them adding him. Granted, Devontae Freeman is going to get all the carries. We know this. But I needed to do something. And then, of course, I lost Brown, which was a heartbreaker, although, you know, he wasn't really doing a whole lot for me, really, period. So, you know, injuries are one thing. Is there anybody that's available right now on the waivers that is – interesting or could be interested? It's looking pretty interesting for me. But in terms of everyone else, what do you see?
Well, I'm not gonna lie, Shane. I have not looked at the waiver wire except for to maybe possibly stream a defense for 3 weeks. Like, it's not. I don't know. I know who's out there. I've been keeping track of the injuries. I just, to me, I don't think anything's going to improve my team at this point, or not even worth giving up what I have on my bench for a flyer anywhere. So I haven't even looked at the waiver wire, to be honest with you.
Now, you mentioned that you were looking at a defense. Surprisingly, out of the defenses that are available for week 8, would you believe me if I told you that the damn Detroit defense has had over 14,900 ads for this week? Man, bye weeks will make you desperate and have you do things that no one ever expected. In terms of wide receivers, with 1,077, Seth Roberts out of Oakland has been one of the top ads in terms of wide receivers. Surprisingly, people are going after Cutler too in Chicago, which I think is odd, 3,675 with him. And in running back, surprisingly, Jonathan Williams out of Buffalo with a surprising 656 ads. Very interesting to see these numbers with these players, but I think a lot of this stems from your bye week, because these guys in our league couldn't even sniff the bench.
No, not a chance. It's crazy. I feel like this year, you know, we had 2, maybe 3 weeks to figure out, you know, kind of figure out our rosters and get them in place. And, you know, and there is going to be the here and there desperation ad due to, you know, injury, and, you know, we're going to see, you know, whatever wide receiver 3 on whatever terrible team getting picked up, because we just have to fill a roster spot. But I mean, for the most part, I think by the first couple of weeks, our rosters were set. I mean, you know.
I agree. I think that has been one of the weirdest things. And again, 2 teams, 28 spots from those, you know, teams, and you can see how it can completely rework the league. Very interesting. So with that, we're going to bring in the commissioner, being the ass that he is, to review the power rankings for week 8. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring that ass in the room, and Skip, the floor is yours.
That was hilarious. Bring that ass in the room. Great. I wasn't aware that I was actually the ass. I thought it was JR that was the ass in the league, but you know, I may be wrong.
Well, he's a combination of a douchebag and the ass. It just depends on who he's playing and how they feel.
Okay, I see. All right. Well, I mean, either way, I'll be glad to take any derision that you all have. You know, my team is reeling right now. And, you know, just kind of a preview, I'm 13 in the power ranking, so I'm definitely on putrid watch right now. Luckily, I have Brad under me, being the defeated team that he is at 0-7. All right, so review of the power rankings. I did use the proverbial this is fine clip here with the dog sipping coffee in a burning room. And it's really just to say that, you know, we unexpectedly have Ronnie at 7-0. And Eric at 6-1. And then if you look past that, everyone's kind of clustered. And so this cartoon is meant to signify that state that we're in with the burning room around us, and we're just sitting there sipping coffee saying this is fine. And congratulations again to Eric for week 7 high points against me. And I guess the formula is play me and you will get high points. So this week, we do have a lot of teams on bye. In fact, we have 6 teams on bye. And, I mean, they're somewhat important teams. We have Baltimore, Los Angeles, Miami, New York Giants, Pittsburgh, and San Francisco. And for the week's 8 power rankings, we have Ronnie and JR at the top. And we've kind of talked about them during the podcast, so I'm not going to talk too much more about them, but Ronnie being a 7-0 and then JR having the most points in the league, I felt like they deserved the top 2 spots. We have Eric at a very close third here at 6-1. and then Ross at number four at 5-2. At numbers 5 and 6, we have Jewel and then Roland. Jewel won this week, and she's won 3 straight after being 0-4. So she's definitely climbing up the rankings and now has hit the top 5. Roland's at number 6. Of course, you beat him this week, Shane. But he still is the only 4-3 team in the league, so he does have some leverage on everyone else. At number 7 and 8, I have AJ and Clint. AJ had a bad loss this week, bad loss to JR. But you know, he still is, I think, 2nd in the league in points, or 3rd, actually, behind Jewel. So he's still doing relatively well. And then Clint, of course, is at 960 total points on the season, so not very bad at all. He's one of those cluster 3 and 4 teams. And then at numbers 9 and 10, I have Ish and I have Chad. Ish is at 3 and 4. He lost to Simon, a pretty bad loss, if you ask me. And then Chad's at 2 and 5, of course, but he's at number 10 just because he's got a lucky break now. He's got the CJ Anderson injury, and now he has Devontae Booker to kind of bolster his running back core and perhaps give him those points that he's looked like he should be able to score. And then we have 11 and 12. We have you, Shane, and then we have Simon at number 12. Both of you guys are 3 and 4. Both of you guys have somewhat lower point totals. And then at number 13, as I mentioned, I'm there. Of course, with a relatively high point total, but not too high. And also, I'm about to lose the board bet to AJ. So you guys will be seeing me wearing body-painted Falcons jersey, basically going through downtown Boston during the winter. So should be pretty fun.
It's going to be amazing to see. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that
so
sounds pain. That sounds painful on the Boston Common. Just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty painful. I'm not looking forward to the actual act of doing it, but I am looking forward to sharing it with everyone. I'm also looking forward to it because AJ is going to come up here and film it for me. So, and he actually offered to do the body paint as well, which I think is a pretty noble gesture, but so I'm looking forward to that.
So you're going to have some wicked body paint. It's going to be horrible. Yeah. For you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, we'll see, but it should be done probably within the next couple of months or so, whenever AJ can get up here. But we definitely want it to be in the depth of winter. So, you know, it should be right around the December time. And then, of course, number 14 at 0-7, we have Brad. He's, you know, squarely in the eye of the Putrid Watch. Of course, you know, Putrid doesn't necessarily come to you simply by virtue of record. It comes by virtue of scoring the least points over the playoff weeks. So we'll see what happens, but it seems all but certain that he'll be in that running. And that's the power rankings.
Hey, Skip, before you get out of here, quick question. Is there any possible way that the league could be looking at having 2 people banned and kicked out based on the rules of the league this year? That would be a first as well. I mean, house money is coming in, you know, granted his record doesn't reflect what truly is going on. And then, golly, I mean, to be winless thus far, I mean, could we potentially see two teams needing managers going into next year?
Well, I mean, I think, okay, Roland is in jeopardy of having a lifetime ban. That's if he gets Putrid. And he's at 4-3 now. I don't necessarily think he'll end up in the bottom 2 spots. And then, actually, what you didn't mention is that there is another team, I think. Oh, no, actually not. I was going to say Jewel might be in trouble. But I think she's past the statute of limitations on the banning.
By one year.
Yeah, by 1 year. So, I mean, either way, yeah, if you go fully defeated, winless on the season, I think there's something that has to happen, obviously. You know, you can't necessarily go through the league without derision on that level, especially if you don't win a game at all. There definitely has to be something that happens. And, you know, him being the co-commissioner, I'll kind of let him kind of choose his fate there. But we'll see. We'll have to see what happens, man. I think he has a good chance to get his first win this week because it's against me, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Wouldn't it suck if the commissioner himself had to be banned? I mean, that would just really be like, you know what? This is extraordinarily fresh league, people. The commissioner, no one is safe.
Well, at that point, Skip can finally get his dream of bowing out of managing a team and just stick to managing the league. So maybe he's tanking on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah, so some people have brought that up. No, I am not tanking on purpose. I, you know, specifically acquired Moncrief and Bryant because I figured that they would have some later season breakouts. So I was hoping to actually kind of win in the meantime and then get those guys back and kind of soar. But didn't quite work out that way. And, you know, we'll see. I'm glad that there's a lot of 3-4 teams there, though, so perhaps I can leapfrog some guys.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it's only week 7, and you said what? We had, Shane, you said we had what, five 3-4 teams? Is that what you said?
That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one loss separating you between five other teams, Skip, so, you know.
All right, so with that, as much as I hate to do this, we're going to roll into our Smack Talk section. And ironically, he's sitting at number 2 in the league at 6-1. He's currently being thrashed right now by myself. We're going to bring on Mr. Eric and have him talk about, you know, who he would like to thank for his win, what his expectations are for the remaining of the season, and any other life updates. I mean, he did just come back from Disney. Anyone that goes to Disney has had a great time, so we'd love to hear about that. So at this point, Mr. Jacob High Rollers himself, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I tell you, it's this year I'm having a blast in this league. Yeah, last year I made a lot of rookie mistakes, but this year, I have a good team. I have some challenges ahead of me with CJ going out. That's a concern. But, you know, the fact, like I mentioned before, I'm beating some good teams. And, you know, Skip, he's 2-5, but he's still got a good team. You know, he's been doing this for years. He knows how to play the game. So to beat him by almost 40 points, it's just a good feeling. Like I said, I was down in Disney World. I wasn't really – couldn't be on attached to my phone. It just popped up. So I had 100 points. It was like, I don't know what time of day it was. Like, what's going on here? And, you know, I thought I had some problems with Aaron Rodgers putting up 26. But Cousins is starting to come through for me. And to win with Zeke on a bye week is impressive. So I have Ajayi, who's going to be the starter now with Arian Foster retired. So I have two strong backs, you know. I'm not counting a lot on Hill. He did put up quite a week, but he's hot and cold. And my receivers can start to produce a little. If Hogan can start to pick it up a little. And I have some potential wide receivers. Who knows? You know, Robbie Anderson, if he might get me 10 points a game if I have to use him. But my tight ends, hopefully Zach Ertz can – you know, turn things around. He's been a disappointment. But Jimmy Graham's been, you know, getting him for $1 holding as a keeper has probably been the value, the steal for me. That's basically, I got him for basically free. So I never thought Jimmy Graham would turn his year around after last year of his injuries. So that's been my secret. I think my tight ends, I got Cameron Brate. Hopefully he'll produce for me this week. So my tight ends and my running backs in, you know, Dak and Kirk Cousins, my quarterbacks. So they've been leading the way for me. So my wide receivers can pick it up a little. Hopefully I'll keep it up. I got a tough matchup this week. I'm down. I haven't looked at the points, but I'm down and right now. So, but he's got three guys going tonight. So looking forward to Sunday. But just I'm having a blast. That's, you know, it's nice to win, but just to be with this is my favorite league. I'm in. All you guys are good, really good. You know, you've welcomed me into the league after my first year. So, you know, I'd like to be the champ, but also just I'm having fun. That's probably what's just as important. If you can't have fun in the league, it's if you win, it doesn't really mean much. So I will turn the flow over back to the host.
Thank you. Just to kind of rub it in a little bit, you're down 30.8 points right now. We'll just say 31 to be nice. But, you know, it's just 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. So we'll see what happens with that. I would like to point out that this year for you, sir, is definitely boom or bust, given your $97 investment into Mr. Elliott, knowing that next year that is going to be a 20 to 25% increase. So you're looking at over half of your budget in one player. So this year definitely needs to be boom for you, because otherwise it will be interesting to see how you put your team together over the next 2 years. As we move forward, we are now going to talk about this week 9. These matchups this week are pretty interesting. We'll start off with the game that I think a couple people have been watching, which is myself versus Eric. Of course, Eric is the projected winner as of right now with the points that have been put up. It has switched over to my favor, but as we all know, projections don't mean a hill of beans in Extraordinarily Fresh. So you got Chad versus AJ, Chad being the projected winner. JR versus Ross, which is we should call that the matchup of hate, because I really feel like those are probably the guys that have the most people that just despise them in the league. JR, unfortunately, is the projected winner in that game. We got Skip and Brad, Battle for the Putrid. Skip is the projected winner in that one. Ronnie and Roland taking effect this week. Roland, surprisingly, is the projected winner for that one. We have Simon and Jewel, with Jewel being the projected winner. If she can roll off 4 in a row, man, that would be phenomenal, because as we all know, every week is tough, because you might have somebody on your bench that's projected to give you 3 points, and they put up 40. It happens. Last but not least, we got Ish versus Clint. Clint being the projected winner. So, gentlemen, out of these matchups, who do you see being set up for the trap game of the week and or any other potential upsets?
Man, I don't know about a trap game of the week. You know, just to comment on Jewel, you know, from early on in the season, you know, I always thought that, you know, she was a tough team. I mean, her record wasn't great coming out, but, you know, I think she has the potential to win, you know, to win another one and another one after that. I mean, I think she's a playoff contender this year, and I think she does have a really solid team. You know, solid running backs, solid, you know, solid wide receivers, and, you know, I think she should be on everybody's radar. And
well, anyone with David Johnson on your team, he can carry if you get some other parts. You know, as long as you have some decent parts, he could carry you.
And I know in Skip's power rankings, you know, talking about Chad's team, you know, I don't know what's going on with that team. I don't know if it's just Gronk getting a slow start. I know Robinson is not very good right now. So I don't know what's going on with him, to be honest with you. Maybe it's all Bortles. We can just blame Bortles, but I mean, Stephon Diggs didn't really turn out to be what he was hoping he would be, and some of the running backs like DeAndre Washington out of Oakland, he was kind of banking on him turning into you know, maybe hoping to take over the starting lead there over Latavius Murray, and just a lot of hope in that team that just, I don't know, it's kind of fallen through, but maybe we'll see a turnaround. He's got some studs, you know, we'll see what happens when Roethlisberger comes back and gets Antonio Brown back to where he needs to be. But, you know, I'm not really holding my breath in the meantime. I love my brother-in-law, but I'm just not really as worried about his team as I was last year.
I'm just going to chime in real quick with my take on it. I think one of the biggest upsets that's going to potentially take place this weekend, for me, outside of course, my game, because I think that's just the right thing to do, is to say that I'm going to win, because who wouldn't want to say that they want to win their game? I honestly think it's going to be that matchup between JR and Ross. Remember that these guys are right in there at number 3 and 4. So essentially what you're looking at is this week is also, it can either do one of two things. It can either help continue to leave everything like a big bowl of mashed potatoes, or it can help start to separate some teams outside of course, Eric and Ronnie. So I think this week is definitely going to be the setup to help lead us into, I think, these next 3 weeks, which are going to be pivotal in determining position, because you might end up with 3 to 4 teams that have sub 500 records that are in the playoffs. And then the question becomes at that point, you know, was it points that got them in there, or was it their team's heart and determination? This has definitely been an interesting year. Every podcast has been interesting with the characters. And as always, we have no idea what's going to happen from the games tonight through Sunday. But we know one thing. Extraordinarily Fresh is definitely the best league, run by some of the best individuals, whether it be owners and or the commissioners. And you never know what's going to happen from week to week. So with that, we hope that this week 8 podcast has been both entertaining and insightful for you. And just be ready. The Warlock will be making his return to the league. With that said, take care and stay fresh.